Hello and welcome. I am your host for the evening, and tonight I'm going to continue a series of mine that I call Deconstruction of a Haunted House. And what this is I'm methodically going through the structure of a house, whether it's room by room or structural element by structural element. So far I have entries on the basement, windows, wardrobes, and hallways was one, and then the bedroom was another. And basically, we're just kind of going methodically through the house and reading experiences that take place in or involving the room or that structural element. And then at the end, maybe we'll figure out what the most haunted room in the house is. So tonight, we are going to be looking at stairs, staircases, stairwells. And I don't think it should be too surprising that there are ghost stories or strange experiences or some sort of spiritual or metaphorical or metaphysical even to the stairs, because they are one of those twixt and tween places, right? You use them to go between floors in a house or a building. So, of course, there's an idea that in these twixt and tween places, these threshold places, maybe the veil is thin and it's an opportune area just by that element alone to have a strange experience. And I feel like the stairs, they're kind of creepy, right? It's a device that's implemented in spooky media, be it film, television, books. I mean, they're creaky, so you can hear someone coming up the stairs when maybe there shouldn't be someone coming up the stairs. There's also this unease and danger around them. You can fall down the stairs, trip down the stairs. If you're being chased on the stairs, it's not very easy to escape your assailant, right? And remember that old, maybe I'll put it as the thumbnail, but you remember that classic ghost photo? Let me see what it's called. The Brown Lady of Raynham Hall. I don't know if you would know it by that name, but this is one of those classic ghost photographs. Don't know if it's really a ghost or not. This is from 1936, and yeah, it's a staircase. Looks like a beautiful, solid wooden staircase with railings on either side, and there's this misty form descending, it seems, the stairs right in the middle that kind of looks like a woman, perhaps. Maybe you remember that photo, maybe you don't. My point is, stairs are haunted. So, let's read some stories about it. All of these are going to come from various subreddits, and in between the stories, I'll read comments that are interesting. Maybe it's because they provide additional experiences or they provoke interesting discussion. And I'll also give my own thoughts and analysis. I also decided to squeeze in some stories from the fairy census. And then at the end, we'll look a little bit at symbology regarding the stairs. So if that sounds good to you, let's get started. The first story was submitted to the paranormal subreddit by ThatWasClose22, and it's called The Thing in the Stairwell. The house I grew up in has always been in my family. It still is. It was built sometime in the late 1800s for my great-great, I don't know how many greats, Aunt Elizabeth. She lived in it until she passed away in her 90s. The house sat empty for a few years. Then a family member asked my parents if we would like to live in it. I was 6 when we moved in. It was my mom, dad, brother, and myself. The house was dusty and smelled like old books. I love that smell. It didn't have carpet, but had dusty old quilts nailed to the floors. Elizabeth had made them, and she was blind. The fabrics were whatever she had stitched together. There was a mostly unfinished attic upstairs. From the day we moved in until the day I moved out in 1995, the upstairs made the hairs on my arms stand up. Even just thinking about it right now, I have goosebumps. When you came up the stairs, you entered an open room that was in the center of the house. It was finished in thin walls that felt like barely more than cardboard. There were two windows with seats in the front and back. To the sides, where the roof would go down to the edge of the house, were doors. The first time I went up there was with my dad when I was 6. He opened one of the doors, and I saw rolls of, I guess, quilts. I remember thinking there were bodies rolled up in them. The room terrified me. I felt like something was in there that hated me. My dad nailed the door shut, and we never opened it again the entire 15 years we lived there. The room on the other side was always used for storage. My brother and I shared a bedroom. Our parents didn't want us upstairs since it was unfinished. They closed and locked the door that led to the stairs. That door was in the corner of our bedroom. It stayed locked unless my mom needed something. The first night there, it sounded like someone was walking slowly up and down the stairs and whispering. Always whispering. At first, I couldn't tell what was being said, and I thought it was my parents in their room. After a while, I discovered it was from the stairwell, and whatever it was saying things like, the girl hears, the girl sees, the girl knows we're here, the girl can't come in, punctuated by my name. It was so scary. My brother said he didn't hear it. Personally, I think he was a liar. The knob used to turn all the time. It was usually a slow wiggle. But sometimes it turned fast, back and forth, and the door shook like someone wanted out of there. I told my dad, and he said, old houses settle. My first memory of something happening outside of the stairs is kind of fuzzy, time-wise. I may have been about 8 or 9, but I remember it involved a puppet my brother had received for Christmas. It was Animal from the Muppets. We had bunk beds, and mine was on top. We used to hang blankets on the sides and pretend the beds were a big RV and we'd go on long drives. So this night, the blankets were hanging on the bed. My brother had fallen asleep and I was looking at a comic book. I thought I heard him moving around, so I thought I'd scare the crap out of him. I eased myself down the side of the bed and peeked in to see where he was. I peered in and that puppet was hanging by its arms directly in front of him on the other end of the bed. Its head was flopped down. My brother was laying there completely still, staring at the puppet, wide-eyed. I looked at him for a bit, thinking he looked really weird. Then I looked at the puppet. The head was no longer flopped down. It was staring right at me, making eye contact. Then it winked and smiled. Those teeth, the plastic ones that we always play-bit each other with, they weren't looking so plastic right now. Then the head flopped back down. You saw it too? He asked. I sure did, I said. We got rid of Animal right then, taped his whole head shut with duct tape, and put him in a trash bag. Then to the outside trash where our dad would burn him the next day. Don't worry, he doesn't come back. A few weeks go by and we're back to just doorknob wiggles. You know, normal old house settling. My brother and I had got some old toys from a relative that lived down the street. They were awesome toys from the 60s. Old G.I. Joes, rubber bands, guns, and a really cool old train set with big metal tracks. We played with it a lot. Then it was bedtime, and we took apart the tracks so the floor was clear. We leaned them up against a wooden box that we put the trains in. The sharp end of the tracks were sticking up in the air on the side of the bed. I had just fallen asleep on my top bunk when I heard the doorknob. It was really going tonight. Then it stopped suddenly, and the room grew cold. I heard someone, something, whisper my name. It was not my brother. Then, bam, I was shoved hard from behind and knocked off the top bunk, straight for those metal train tracks. I seriously thought I was going to die on them, but right when I got about halfway down, I felt like I was being lifted up by something warm and soft. I was put right back in my bed, where I was suddenly so tired I couldn't hold my eyes open. I heard a low hum and the word sleep. I got up the next morning and went out to see my mom making pancakes in the kitchen. I was telling her all about the weird dream I had. Right when I got to the part about something catching me, my brother came in. He said it wasn't a dream. He had watched the entire thing. He said he woke up right as I was falling off the bed, and out of nowhere, a big hand was was suddenly there and caught me. He said the hands patted him too and told him to sleep. And he did. Best sleep ever. After that, the house was pretty quiet for a few years, until I had a sleepover when I was 11. Then, stuff amped up again. Voices calling me, things scratching my arms and face in the night, door slamming, and the unexplainable cold, getting shoved. There were a few super terrifying things that happened that I'll share separately. I've been gone from that house for 25 years, and every time I have a nightmare, it's there. Okay, so that wasn't just limited to the stairs. We got a couple of experiences there. We'll start with the stairs. Well, first, actually, I want to start with the house. It sounds like a really spooky house. I don't think they said where this was in the world, but late 1800s, that's a fairly old house. If it was in the US, that's definitely an old house. It's an old family home, previously owned by great-great-aunt Elizabeth, who had a little bit of interesting lore there. She was blind, but she made all these quilts that were nailed down to the floor. And then there was even more stuffed in a closet, all rolled up. I thought those were some pretty interesting details that made the house kind of unique in its history. So like I mentioned in the intro, they said the first night they were there, I mean, things started immediately. Although, if it's the first night, you're not really used to the noises that the house makes. But they said it sounded like someone was walking slowly up and down the stairs. So yeah, there's this aspect of the stairs that has this sound element that's very spooky. Whether it was someone actually walking on the stairs, or maybe it was that house settling kind of sounds, those do exist, right? Buildings make weird sounds and creaks and pops. But if you hear that on your stairs, I mean, immediately, you have this primal reaction, right? That you feel like there's a person on the stairs. They also did say that they heard whispering on the stairs. And this was all behind a closed door because their parents shut and locked the door to the stairs. So they wouldn't access the stairs, I suppose. Or the second floor. And the knob to the stairwell would turn and jiggle, sometimes slow, sometimes fast. So their dad did say that this could be the house settling. Now, when I think of houses settling, I think more of stairs creaking and not really doorknobs jiggling. This is also the guy who nailed shut the closet with the quilts in them. So that's pretty much what we get for the stairs, but it's worth going over the other stories too. The next one involves puppets, and I do have an interest in stories with puppets. I have a couple of videos that are all about experiences with puppets called Puppet People. They're easy to find by their title, if you're curious. I did like the Opie and their brother draping these blankets over their bunk beds and pretending they're in an RV and going on drives at night. That sounds really cozy and fun. So they had this animal puppet that seemed to be sentient, at least for this one night. I have to say, that part of the story, I almost got a little too skeptical about it. They mentioned that the puppet smiled and their plastic teeth weren't looking so plastic at the moment. And I mean, it's pretty out there, but I say that and then I have two episodes worth of Puppet People stories. So I don't know. At least he didn't come back after they taped his head shut and threw him away. And then finally, there was an experience, also in their bunk beds. They felt like they were shoved out of their bunk bed. They started falling, and then they were basically caught, lifted up by something warm and soft, and put back into bed. And then they heard a low hum and the word sleep, and they fell back asleep. Now, you could say this was just some kind of dream or something, except their brother said they saw it. They saw a big hand catch them. So that part of it was really cool. I'm very interested in the being caught and floating and levitating back into your bed. It's going to come up later in the episode. No spoilers, but if you're familiar with my channel, you might know where this is going. So yeah, well, I'll leave it at that. But the big hand, I love that. And I don't know, that seems like a pretty helpful and comforting entity, right? It saved them from being injured, perhaps. Now, what shoved them out of the bed? Who knows? And then it also gave them this, the best sleep they ever had. And I've always thought of like a big hand as being this really comforting concept and imagery. I've thought about it when I'm like stroking my cat or something. And I'm like, I'm so jealous of you for having this big hand. Like, doesn't that just, getting a massage is great, right? But imagine if it was a hand that could just cover your whole back. Or if you just like sleep in a big hand. I just think that sounds really nice. So I like the idea of this big hand. And he did say, the brother said, the hand patted him. It'd be like a good guided meditation, I feel like. All right, now I'm going to read a couple of comments. Here's some comments the OP said about the hand. Actually, all of these are going to be about the hand. So in the comments, the OP said that their brother called it God's hands, and that it was, quote, warm and so soft, and I instantly felt like everything was fine, end quote. One commenter asks, quote, how big was the hand? Was it just a hand with nothing attached, end quote. And the OP replies, quote, it was big, like I fit into the palm. It was just a hand, no wrist or body, end quote. It really sounds really comforting and lovely. So at least there was one good experience out of all their scary experiences. And they mentioned having a few super terrifying things that they said they would share separately. I don't believe they did in the comments. Just going to check. And no, they don't. They do say that the house is still there and a family member lives there. It has been remodeled, which, you know, can shake things up. That's our first story for the night. Got quite a few interesting things in it, not just stairs. So let's move on to our next story. This one was submitted to the Glitch in the Matrix subreddit by Relish0430, and it's called Strange Childhood Experience. This was a long time ago, and is probably the most vivid early childhood memory I have. I remember almost nothing from younger than age 5, but this memory is a singular episode that has stuck with me for more than 40 years. I was a toddler, approximately a year and a half old. For context, and those of you who are familiar with typical American homes, I grew up in a center hall colonial. My bedroom was on the second floor, and the staircase was L-shaped, with a landing about 3/4 of the way up, and a turn to the right to ascend the remainder of the steps. Here's where it gets strange. My small child self wakes up and pads my way down the hall to the top of the stairs. I'm still young enough so that descending the staircase is an adventure fraught with peril. I distinctly remember pausing at the top of the stairs while gripping the banister post to contemplate my situation. But at that moment, I felt myself begin to float slowly and gently down the stairs. I remember touching down softly at the bottom. I then walked into the kitchen, where my mother, father, and all my siblings were having breakfast before work and school. My unexpected arrival caused a bit of a freakout and questioning about how I traversed the stairs by myself, and some concerns but loving admonitions against using the stairs unchaperoned. I recounted my tale of weightless flight, much to the amusement of my family. I was the youngest child by 9 years. My entire family was on the first floor when this occurred, and there was no one else in the house. I never felt as if there was another entity involved or any sense that I was not alone when this took place. As I described, this has stuck with me for decades. I have no history of sleepwalking at any time in my life, before or since. I've never had another experience like this, and as I said, I have literally no other memories from that young, or even years older beyond flashes, but this I can recall like it happened yesterday. I won't belabor the point too much. I'll try not to. No promises, because it's something I've covered fairly extensively already. But we couldn't talk about the stairs without a mention of floating down the stairs. If you're not familiar, this is a really common sentiment about having memories of being able to float down the stairs when they were a kid. Whether it was a one-off or a recurring thing, some people do say that it was a dream that they had. Other people say that it was a memory, like this person. I find it fascinating. It's not an experience I have. I kind of wish I did. It sounds really cool, but it's something that so many people say they remember, and they remember vividly. And it's one of those things that when people hear it, it like triggers a memory, unlocks a memory, whatever. So let me read some of the comments just to show you. One person says, quote, "I'm really glad I read this. My best friend always goes on about a time when she was little and swears she floated down the last 3 or 4 steps of her staircase. I'm sure I've heard someone else say this too. Is this a thing?" End quote. It's a thing. It's a thing. Going back to our last story, you know, some people do say that it feels like they're carried down the stairs. They don't see anybody, but it feels like they're lifted and carried. They feel like someone's involved or something is involved with carrying them. OP of our story mentions that they never felt like there was another entity involved, so they don't feel like they were carried or lifted by something external. And yeah, some people say that it's an ability they have. People speculate whether it's something you can do when you're a young child because you don't question it. I don't know. It's just something you can do naturally. And then once you start to think about it, you can't. I don't know. This person does say, though, that they knew that going down the stairs was dangerous, and it still happened. So it's very interesting. Some people do, kind of different to this situation, but similar to the situation in our previous story, they'll say that they trip on the stairs or something and they're falling and something catches them and like rights them magically, gently puts them on the floor or back on the stairs. I can't say, of course, what it is or what's going on really. I will read this, not criticism, but just scrutiny. This person, one commenter holds the OP too, because, you know, it's okay to question. It's important to have questions about things. Now, that being said, there's a difference between having questions and just telling someone that something didn't happen. You can think whatever you want. You're allowed to think whatever you want and have your own opinion, of course. But just telling someone that didn't happen, that's not real. I just don't find it productive, personally. And also, there's, of course, a difference when you think someone is lying or fabricating. But when someone is clearly being genuine, this person says it's a memory they've had for 40 years. To tell someone that genuinely believes they had an unexplainable experience, to just tell them that didn't happen, it's just not very effective or productive. But I think it's okay to question. And if you're putting something out there on a public forum, you know, you kind of have to be open to questions and scrutiny. Anyway, one person says, quotes, "As an 18-month-old, you must have had very advanced speaking skills to tell your family about floating down the stairs. All my kids could barely make sentences before age 2, and they were all pretty advanced for their age. Are you sure you weren't remembering a dream?" End quote. I think that's fair. I mean, I get where they're coming from. I don't have too much experience with young children, but I have a friend who has a child who is just under 2, and he's talking more, but yeah, he doesn't say sentences. So I get what they mean, but he can still convey concepts. So anyway, the OP says, quote, "No, it definitely happened. My mother remembered it many, many years later. Speech is highly variable, and I know my kids could communicate complex ideas at 18 months. Not in sophisticated language, but certainly well enough to express a concept. My wife also sang happy birthday to herself on her first birthday, and that is immortalized on film." End quote. So yeah, I think a child can convey something without speaking in a complete sentence. I get where both people are coming from, but again, you know, they really feel that this is a real experience and not a dream. And who am I to say otherwise? It wasn't my experience. And again, so many other people have the same. Here's another comment. Quotes, "My dad has a similar story. He says when my little sister was a toddler, he looked up to see her running across the porch towards the steps. He says he saw her stumble or trip and that she should have fallen down the 3 to 4 stairs, but instead she gracefully sort of floated to the bottom of the steps and landed there on her feet, end quote. And that one just kind of gave me chills because I've thought about this too. Like, what if you catch a child doing it? That would be crazy. Very interesting to have someone witness the floating down the stairs. And I have heard that before. I have heard people say that their parents saw it happen. That's really interesting, right? All right, one more comment. Quote, this just reminded me of something. When I was really little, maybe 3 or so, I thought I could fly because I distinctly remember jumping off the top step of a flight of stairs in my house and flying headfirst to the bottom before neatly landing. I've always dismissed it as a dream, but it was recurring and happened with both flights of stairs in my house and was convincing enough that many times as a kid, as I got older, I wanted to do it. Something always stopped me, though. Whenever I flew, I had this weird, sick feeling in my stomach, like something was wrong. And I didn't have that feeling as I got older. I'd forgotten about this, just thought of it again. End quote. So another theory is that it's astral projection, right? Maybe it wasn't a dream, but you also weren't awake. It was some sort of astral travel because it did take place inside your house in a real place, right? So anyway, I could go on about this topic. It really interests me just how common it is. But if you want to hear more, I do talk about it fairly often. And I think if you probably just search floating down the stairs on my channel, you could probably find the other episodes. Also, let me know if you have this memory, because I never get sick of hearing about it. All right, our next story was submitted to the Paranormal subreddit by Gobo Gorilla, and it's called The Light Under the Stairs. I am a 61-year-old guy, remembering back to a more innocent time. I've had several strange things happen in my life, but the one I most vividly remember happened when I was about 10. As a special treat, I slept one night downstairs in my brother's room. I got up in the night to use the bathroom, and it was so dark. Back then, I was afraid of the dark. I stumbled out of his room and headed to the stairs, and was so thankful for the light under the stairs. It guided me upstairs and back down. The next day, I thought of it and realized that I had never seen a light there before. I searched and searched for it over the next days and years and never discovered where it came from. Was it an angel lighting the way for a scared little boy? I don't know, but I know it was there. Short, simple story, but really interesting. And before anyone asks, the OP confirms that there were no windows near the stairs, so it couldn't have been car lights or outside lights. How strange. I love these types of stories when something is different about someone's house just once. There's actually one that I probably should have put in the stairs episode, this episode, but instead it's in the basement episode, if it's there too, but it's really good, one of my favorite stories, where basically these kids open a closet in their house and there's a staircase going down that's not there. I mean, it was there when they saw it and they actually went down the stairs, but it wasn't there before or after, just one time. And another time someone saw this giant hole in their wall that seemed to go into some kind of weird tunnel, and they just saw it once. And, you know, this is something that happens at night. He woke up to just go to the bathroom. Well, he didn't say if he woke up, but he said he stumbled out of the room. So it sounds like he just woke up. I don't know. People are sleepy, yada, yada, yada. I just thought that story was really interesting. They put it in the paranormal subreddit, but I could see it fitting into the Glitch in the Matrix subreddit, because one element of your house changed or this light was present just this one time. I just find that so fascinating. Our next story was also submitted to the paranormal subreddit by JJ Blue, and it's called I Saw My Daughter Come Down the Stairs. I just felt like sharing a strange experience I had in my house. I've lived in this house since the beginning of 2013 and never experienced anything before. This happened a couple months ago. It actually makes me sick to my stomach to think about. I was sitting at my kitchen table in my usual spot. My six-year-old daughter was on the second floor of my house in the upstairs living room, more or less right above my head. She was loudly sifting through her Lego box. To my left of the table is the underside of the staircase to the second floor. I can't see who is on the stairs or the top or bottom of the stairs from where I was sitting. If you are descending the stairs, the door to the room we use as an office is directly to the right across a short hallway from the bottom of the stairs. From my chair at the table, I can see the entire hallway between the bottom of the stairs and the door to the office. I can also see a sliver of the interior of the office. As I was sitting at the table and semi-listening to the noise my daughter was making with the Legos, I heard someone start walking down the stairs. I wasn't really looking towards the office, but I saw the back of my daughter's head as she walked into the office. Or so I thought. A few seconds later, I heard someone start walking down the stairs, this time louder than the first time I heard it. I realized that something odd had just happened, so I looked towards the hallway. I watched as my daughter walked into the office with both her hands full of her Lego creations. I hurried over to the office and looked inside. My daughter was the only one in there. She was putting her Legos on one of the desks. I asked her if she came down to the office and went back and came back down again, but she said she hadn't. There wasn't enough time for her to go upstairs again and come back down. Also, I would have seen her come out of the office. I didn't see the face of the first daughter to go into the office, but the height appeared about right. The hair color and length and shirt color were correct for my daughter. I am thoroughly creeped out by this. As creeped out as I was when my daughter used to wave and say goodbye to her closet when we'd get her up from naps and in the morning when she was around two. I'm unsure what to make of this. I lived in a house with shadow people when I was my daughter's age, and I really don't want to deal with anything creepy ever again. Alright, so what this makes me think of is kind of like a doppelganger, but it's a specific variety on the doppelganger called a Vardiger. And I believe it's Norwegian. Let me double check. It just says Scandinavian, I guess. So Norwegian and other Scandinavian countries. It's like a doppelganger in that it's a person's double, but it doesn't have those dire implications that a doppelganger has. Because, you know, the lore around doppelgangers is if you see someone's double, it means that they're going to die. That's the story behind it, as far as I'm aware. But a Vardiger is actually a spiritual predecessor. I think it's also called arrival cases. And it's almost like time has jumped ahead of itself. Or you're seeing whatever the opposite of an echo is in time. Basically, a lot of stories are hearing or seeing, say, your husband come home from work. You hear all those usual sounds. Maybe you see him walk by the door and go to the bathroom or go upstairs. And then a minute later, he comes home and does the same things. Does that make sense? That's what it sounds like to me, because basically the double, did what the daughter did just a few minutes later, or a few seconds later, even. Very interesting. And so this isn't any kind of death omen or anything or harbinger. It's just some weird time distortion, seemingly, or something like that. And also, Vardigers, you don't have to see them. You can just hear them, hear the sounds of someone coming home or someone coming down the stairs. I talk about it and I cover this essay written about them, Vardigers, in an episode I have on my Patreon. It's called Doppelganger Leftovers. And doppelganger stories and arrival cases and things like that. And it's free if you're interested. I also have ones for floating down the stairs, and they're free. Right now, everything on my Patreon is free. So that's what I make of it. I just make of it as some kind of, time distortion that she was able to see. And I actually found quite a few stories, the comments, lots of people share really similar experiences, even specifically with stairs, but it was a little repetitive, so I decided not to read them. So let's go ahead now and talk a little bit about the symbolism of stairs. I'm going to read a couple different definitions here. This is from the Encyclopedia of Symbolism by Kevin J. Todeschi. And he says, quote, "Stairs are associated with rising or descending to another level. For example, in consciousness, awareness, success, spirituality, etc., can correspond to the need to take life one step at a time, or to the fact that one has missed a step may suggest a journey to the higher self or higher mind." So if we apply that to, say, maybe a paranormal aspect, if ghosts or vertigo or other kind of spirits, non-human spirits, exist on, let's say, a plane of reality that's just above or just below where we reside, or maybe just above or just below what we're able to perceive, then maybe the stairs can act as a gateway or a lens to access that higher or lower plane or level of perception where these things are. I'm just speculating, of course. I'm getting creative. And then another entry I have from the Dream Encyclopedia by James R. Lewis says, "A dream about going upstairs is a sign of excellent luck. A dream about going downstairs is a sign of bad luck in business and love. A dream about falling downstairs means that the dreamer will be despised and envied. If a person dreams about sitting on the stairs, it implies a general improvement in his life." These are silly. "If his dreams feature a broad, elegant staircase, it foretells wealth and a higher status. If he sees other people going down the stairs in the dream, joy will soon give way to unhappiness." End quote. I don't really know if I resonate with those interpretations personally, but it's making me think about my own dreams of stairs. I can remember one specifically right now. I dream very, very vividly. I love dreams. I can't lucid dream. It's weird because I have like conscious thought process in dreams. Like if I'm having a conversation, I can think about what I want to say next, but it never occurs to me that I'm in a dream. I'm totally like immersed in it. It feels like reality. So I don't know what you call that. Sometimes I get these dreams. I know there will be people who can relate to this, that feel just like a step beyond. They're just especially vivid and immersive. And I would say that I describe them as cinematic. They feel very cinematic. And sometimes I'm like not myself. I'm like another character. I love those dreams. So one of those that had this kind of feel, this kind of extra level of dreamness, is I was walking up a staircase. I was with a group of people. We were all walking up a staircase. Some people were behind me, some people were above me, and they weren't people I knew. They're just kind of random dream people. And it was kind of like a rickety metal staircase that you would find in like, I don't know, maybe like a service hallway in a building or something, or a parking garage, something like that. It was very dark, and I feel like it was kind of like rusty metal, almost like a fire escape, but it was, it kept turning. Well, not like a spiral, but like at right angles. It kept going up and up and up and up. So that's why it kind of reminds me of like something in a building where you're going up and up floors. I felt it was just going on, and I thought that I was like stuck in some kind of loop, and I started getting really anxious, and the people around me too. It was something we were becoming aware of, that we were kind of stuck just going up these stairs and not getting anywhere. And then the stairs like fell away. I don't know if I was like shot up or the stairs fell away, but then I was like floating through the air, and then I ended up falling very softly though. I knew I wasn't gonna get hurt. I don't know. I started like falling through the sky towards like this pond of water, but I didn't end up falling into the water. I was like let down into this neighborhood. And then I started wandering around this neighborhood a little bit. But it's interesting because I did like the last definition we read from the Encyclopedia of Symbolism. It was like I ascended and then, I don't know, I moved on to like another level. Really interesting. I know dreams are kind of hard to talk about because they're so abstract, but I'm going to talk about more dream interpretations. This one is from the Little Giant Encyclopedia of Dream Symbols. Quote, this is of course about stairs. "Changes and transformation starting from below, the unconscious, and coming to the surface, consciousness, or vice versa. So if you're ascending, you're coming from the unconscious to the conscious, which would be like from your mind to reality, right? Staircases are a frequent symbol in fairy tales and movies, suggesting personal growth and wholeness. The landings in a staircase correspond to the dreamer's energy centers, the chakras. Are you going up the stairs or coming down? See, that's very interesting. According to Freud, going up the stairs symbolizes sexual union. End quotes. Oh, geez. Well, of course it does. He has to make everything sexual and phallic, doesn't he? I'm more of a Jungian myself. So let's read what Carl Jung has to say about the stairs. This is from the website This Jungian Life. The post is called House Dreams, Schematics of Your Psychological Functioning. And when I get to the end, I don't know when that'll be, of my Deconstructing Haunted House series, I'm going to do like an overview and we'll go through like Carl Jung's dream house and stuff like that. Because the house as a whole, it's like broken down in symbology and dream interpretation and stuff like that. Anyway, Jung says, stairs and landings track shifts in awareness. Going upstairs signals reflection, meaning systems, and vision. Dropping to the basement throws you against instinct, memory, and inherited trouble. Okay, let's pause here for a second. Going upstairs signals reflection, meaning systems, and vision. So again, I guess going to like higher consciousness, and then also this makes me think of, I believe it was Aldous Huxley said that if we're talking about rooms and houses, levels of consciousness, that the attic is like your higher self and your imagination. So yeah, going up and up and up into a house, we'll say, is getting higher up in consciousness. Going upstairs, signaling reflection, meaning systems, and vision. To me, that seems like you're kind of ascending in your insight. You know, you're gaining higher insight. You're progressing in like your personal growth. And yeah, because to reflect, I mean, that's a difficult thing to do. So you're growing if you're reflecting. So dropping to the basement, which your basement is the unconscious or the subconscious. These are things that aren't expressed, but are in your mind. Sometimes they're tucked away, right? So dropping down to the basement throws you against instinct, memory, and inherited trouble. Yeah, your unconscious is where your memories are, and subconscious, you know, your repressed memories. And inherited trouble, that makes me think of, you know, the phrase like skeletons in the closet, or your basement is where you hide things away and you store things, and you don't really access it much and can just kind of tuck things away. So kind of your inherited trouble or your generational trauma or things like that, that would be down in the basement. Okay, and then it says lateral wandering on one level. So this isn't really stairs, but it's interesting. Let's keep going. Lateral wandering on one level shows stasis that steals momentum. So yeah, if you just stay on one floor and you don't ascend or descend, if you don't use the stairs, then there's no growth. Notes each change of floor. It mirrors emotional pressure rising or falling. And this is in dreams. Where you stop tells the truth about current capacity. Interesting. I love that. Okay, let's read one more. It's pretty similar, I think, but this is cool to me. This is from the Illustrated Encyclopedia of Symbols, Signs, and Dream Interpretation. Quotes, it is worth considering that staircases allow you access to higher places, and that you may be using them as a symbol for your ability to progress or achieve greater status. Conversely, descending a staircase may show a loss of these things. A staircase may also transport you between different states of consciousness or the higher and lower aspects of your being. Elevators and escalators may act in the same way as staircases and help you on your way, but bear in mind that you are taking an easy ride by using them. End quote. That's interesting. I would also kind of take it as like elevators and escalators, maybe not only, it could in some cases be the easy ride, but maybe also it's like you are not the one who's moving you between levels. Something else is taking you between levels. Yeah, so taking all that meaning in stride, it makes sense to me why stairs might be a good place to have an otherworldly experience. They are gateways to different planes of reality, at least in dreams, but maybe in reality. Who knows? All right, so actually, decided that I wanted to squeeze in a few encounters from the fairy census. So let's now apply what we've learned from the dream interpretation and symbology to these accounts. This first one I'm going to read took place in Scotland, sometime in the years between 2010 and 2020, when the witness was in their 50s, and the time was between 9 p.m. and 12 a.m. I was going downstairs in my own house. It was around 10 p.m., and I hadn't put on the light, as it was summertime and only dim, not completely dark. As I proceeded down the stairs, I saw what appeared to be an orange-lighted butterfly. It had bright, lighted orange wings and various colored sparkles and made a high-pitched sort of insect noise. It flew quickly to the tread of the fourth or fifth stair to hide. I stopped for a moment because I was startled, but when I came to the stair in question, no fairy was there. This is not the only encounter in my home, as my sister had witnessed a fairy peeking in our window as we chatted one night during a visit, and a few friends have also reported seeing sparkles at the side of their vision. This particular encounter was definitely with a fairy. However, I do believe in angels, and I do believe I work with them too. Fairies are nature angels and elementals. Alright, so, very beautiful. By lighted, I'm guessing they mean illuminated, an orange glowing butterfly with sparkles. And she said she proceeded down the stairs. So, just for fun, just for a thought exercise, if you take what we just learned about what it means to go down the stairs in dreams, this would mean you're going down into your subconscious. I know this is a waking experience, but just to play around. So, actually, a lot of fairy encounters are what you would call a third eye experience. Not something you see with your physical eyes, but something you kind of see with your mind's eye. And to some people, that might be imagination, but that's up for interpretation. So since she was going down the stairs, it makes me wonder if this was a physical sighting or a more subconscious sighting. But yeah, did being on the stairs give her the ability to see this being at all? And it is interesting that the butterfly or fairy or whatever seemed to land on the stairs and hide there, but then it was gone. They also mentioned that the other encounters that have happened in their home was their sister saw a fairy peeking in the window, and friends reported seeing sparkles out of the side of their eye, their peripheral vision. And I just wanted to make a note that these, like the stairs, are also these twixt and tween places. Kind of a unique experience. The orange glowing butterfly, that's pretty. So something I did want to note is when you fill out the fairy census, which is a survey, ongoing, if you have what you believe to be a fairy experience, you can submit, it's totally anonymous. You fill out all these questions, and these questions provide data for Dr. Simon Young, who's the researcher behind the fairy census. And they're things like, how old were you when this experience happened? What time of day was it? Were you sleepy? Were you performing a repetitive action? Had you just fallen asleep or just waken up? And these are given because it's possible that maybe these different states or these different things like repetitive actions, hypnagogic states, driving, Dr. Simon Young thinks that maybe they can lend themselves to this type of experience. Whether it primes you in some way for a supernatural experience or whether it is an apt time for some kind of hallucinations. Those are my words, not his. But I noticed that one of the questions on the fairy census is, had you just had a rush of adrenaline? For example, running up the stairs. So Simon gives this example of running up the stairs specifically as something that might trigger a supernatural experience. And I hadn't really clocked that survey question in that example before. So I just asked him if there was some kind of tie to what people deem supernatural experiences and rushes of adrenaline. And he just said that it was one of his exploratory questions. He doesn't have any proof or anything, but it's just something he wonders about. Same with driving. And yeah, maybe there's something with rushes of adrenaline. So that was interesting to me. Okay, next I have a really, really short one. This one took place in New Jersey in the late 1930s, early 1940s. In the evening, inside their home, my father and his older brother saw a dwarf on the top landing of the stairs. They were looking up at it. It was 2 to 3 feet tall, wide girth, had wide belt with a large buckle, and boots. The dwarf had a long beard. My father didn't say if they left or it disappeared. Dad would have been about 5 to 7 years old, and his brother in his teens. My father thought they might be from another reality. So, short one, but we can't leave out a dwarf on the top landing of the stairs, especially when there's multiple witnesses. That's always rare and very intriguing, because there's kind of corroboration. So the dwarf was at the top of the stairs, encouraging them, perhaps, to ascend to a higher state of consciousness, towards their higher self. Dwarves do give off, like, this kind of wisdom, right? With the long beard, they're kind of this little archetypal wise man, so I could see that. All right, this next one is a little bit longer. It took place in Wales in the 1990s, when the witness was between the age of 11 and 20, and the time was between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. A friend and I were home one evening relaxing. My dog was out in the front garden. It was late autumn. We had candles lit, listening to music, discussing spirituality / religion, as was our passion at the time. We heard my dog, a spaniel, scratching the front door to come in. My friend went into the hall, leaving the lounge door open to open the front door for the dog. I was sitting in my chair and could clearly see 2 meters or so out into the hall. I heard a commotion, like an animal's feet running, and looked out into the hall, expecting to see Ben, my spaniel, come running into the room. I saw a man-sized animal-like creature run past and up the stairs, and heard the heavy sound of it running up on all fours as it shot up the stairs. It was, I'd say, if standing, 5 feet 5 inches, maybe more. It was sort of a human crossed with an animal. I could see brownish, leathery, tough skin with coarse black hair sporadically growing out of its body. Its head had a large, flattened snout, crinkled and wrinkled like someone had forced its nose into its face, and upward, protruding teeth. My friend heard it, but curiously, did not see it. The dog had not come in and was still out in the garden. Over a period of a few years, I and visitors to the house would see red lights, like eyes, at night up on the landing and stairs, and on a few occasions hear the running up the stairs, like a very large dog. I'm convinced it was a fairy, a puka, or some other thing. The house got renovated in later years, and all occurrences stopped. It looked like a large black dog, crossed with human characteristics and some other beast. It had red eyes, upward big fangs from the bottom jaw, flat, large, squashed-in snout, giving the face an ugly, quite fierce expression. I heard it running up the stairs on many occasions. It seems like an elemental, connected to the lands, the area, the house. After renovation, it stopped. It was definitely connected to the old, untouched energy before modernization. We tried to use candles and hardly watch TV, preferring soft music at our groups of spiritual exploration there. There were a lot of experiences by myself and others at that time. It was an old house. We held seances there. Groups of friends into the paranormal would gather here over a few years. It was quite a hotspot of activity until its renovation. I believe fairies are other dimensional beings, linked to our Earth and also our psyches. They seem to reflect our inner hidden natures. I'm very interested in the awakening of the UFO alien fairy connection worldwide, and the connection to multiverse theories and other dimensions. Could it be the same thing? How is our human consciousness connected? For we are connected, or we wouldn't have these experiences. Is it possible to actively seek a fairy encounter and therefore be privy to its mysteries? Okay, so a lot to go over there. Creepy creature they saw. They said that they were convinced it was a puka, perhaps. And if you're not familiar, a puka is a fairy in Irish folklore. And one of its main forms, it's said to take on several forms or can appear in several different ways. And one of those is of a black dog. It also can be seen as a black horse or a really big eagle or a ram, a black ram. So, yeah, I'm not sure. They're said to be quite mischievous. Some people think maybe they're just dangerous, but who can say the nature of a fairy, right? So, they saw it running up the stairs on all fours. I do wonder, since they got so many details, if this was kind of like more of a third eye experience. Because if they saw it, especially like running up the stairs, how much would they have been able to have seen of its face? Besides the side profile, perhaps? I said it was an old house, and they had this group of friends who held seances. They were very into the paranormal. They would talk. They were very passionate about the paranormal and spirituality, and would talk about it a lot late into the night. I could see them, well, one, of course, they're more open to experiences, or maybe they're even more prone to looking for experiences. I could see that type of energy and like enthusiasm and interest in a group of people in one spot generating activity, perhaps, you know, out of just that interest. It's almost like calling it in. Well, especially if you're doing seances, then you definitely are. But it sounds really cozy and fun. They just lit candles and talked about the paranormal. It sounds pretty fun, honestly. They said that they believe fairies are other dimensional beings linked to the earth and also our psyches. And they say that they believe fairies seem to reflect our inner hidden natures. So I just thought all of that was very interesting. I agree. I think I agree with all of that, that they're other dimensional beings linked to the earth as well in some way, reflective of our psyches. I kind of resonate with that. They also say, how is our human consciousness connected? For we are connected or we wouldn't have these experiences. And speaking of our psyche and speaking of these symbols, that all has to do with the connection of human consciousness. The reason I talk about symbols is because that is what connects human consciousness. It's, again, Carl Jung's his collective unconscious, that archetypes or symbols like stairs have this kind of agreed meaning between all humans. And that's how we can transcend the mundane and connect on a higher level with just symbology. That's what the tarot is based on, these archetypes. And just the fact that so many people have supernatural experiences connects people. Anyway, I might be getting lost in my abstract thought. So finally, they say, is it possible to actively seek a fairy encounter and therefore be privy to the mysteries? Well, they've already sought out seances, but I would say I personally wouldn't recommend it. I mean, just because, one, I tend to follow I have Irish ancestry, so I tend to follow the Irish fairy faith mentality that you just don't want to mess with them. That they have been known to do favors, but you just never know how it's going to shake out. So you just might as well not mess with them and run the risk of something bad happening. And also, I don't know, when you're communicating with anything, seeking things out, how do you know what you're communicating with? So I don't know. I tend to throw caution to the wind and not seek it out and rather just be open to the possibility of mysteries and these types of experiences and go from there. Also, if you seek it out, maybe you can't, sometimes you can't be sure if it's genuine, you know, because it's like you're so wanting and looking and seeking. It's much more powerful when you aren't looking for it to happen and it happens. Do whatever you want, but probably wouldn't recommend seeking it out. It doesn't seem to really work either. When you seek it out, generally, it doesn't really yield results, I find. Hasn't worked in my experience, really, other than dreams, but that's something else. Well, I think that is where we are going to cap it for now. Hopefully you feel we have ascended this staircase tonight. Although there's so much mystery, but I think the contemplation of it, it's definitely not a static endeavor, is it? Anyway, mostly, I hope you thought it was entertaining and you enjoyed it. And yeah, if you want to check out the other episodes in my series, Deconstructing a Haunted House, I do have them collected in a playlist on YouTube that I will have linked in the description wherever you're listening. I'm not sure where we're going next in the house. We've been to the basement, we've been on the stairs, we've been in the hallway, we've looked at windows and wardrobes, bedrooms. Where should we go next? If we're ascending, I guess we would go to the attic. But if you feel drawn to one area of the house, do let me know. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'll be back very soon with more stories. So until next time, take care and good night.